asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Catherine Drew. US President Donald Trump has expressed his doubts that peace negotiations will ever take place between the Israelis and Palestinians. He threw cold water on the prospects during a bilateral meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who praised the decision to move the US embassy to Jerusalem. President Trump says the Palestinians don't respect him, whilst he thinks the Israelis will have to give up something in the future.
You won one point and you'll give up some points later on the negotiation, if it ever takes place. I don't know that it ever will take place, but they have to respect the process also, and they have to respect the fact that the U.S. has given tremendous support to them over the years in terms of monetary support and other support. So we'll see what happens with the peace process, but respect has to be shown to the U.S.
At least three people are known to have died after a commuter train crashed near Milan in Italy. FSN's Europe correspondent Jack Parrock has more.
Italian authorities have confirmed that dozens of people were injured in the train derailment, which happened on the outskirts of Milan between Treviglio and Saggiano di Pioltello. One man who was on the train told La Repubblica newspaper that it was packed full of commuters heading into work when the train derailed at around 7 a.m. local time. While firefighters are continuing to rescue people from the wreckage, there are fears that many more people may have lost their lives in the crash.
Longtime US diplomat Bill Richardson has stepped down from an international panel advising Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi on the Rohingya crisis, claiming she lacks moral leadership on the issue. The veteran diplomat accused the panel of being a whitewash. Nearly 750,000 Rohingya Muslims have fled Myanmar for neighbouring Bangladesh to escape a military offensive which many have described as ethnic cleansing. The International Olympic Committee says only Russian athletes without even the slightest doubt or suspicion of doping will be allowed to compete in next month's Winter Olympics. Russia is unhappy that many high-profile athletes are not invited. FSN's Lucy Taylor reports from Moscow.
Russia is barred from next month's Winter Olympics in South Korea because of allegations of systematic doping. But some clean Russian athletes will be allowed to compete as neutrals under the Olympic flag instead of the Russian one. The International Olympic Committee says it now has a list of the almost 400 athletes who could be eligible. About 80% did not compete in the last games in 2014. And the IOC says this shows they're a new generation who can act as ambassadors for clean sport. But Russia's Olympic Committee is unhappy that more than 100 athletes it says are clean are not included, including two reigning world champions and one six-time gold medalist. Russia denies accusations of state-sponsored doping, but the IOC says athletes can only be invited if there's not even the slightest doubt or suspicion about their record.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks very much, Catherine Drew. Whatever happened to proof? What's this nonsense? Athletes cannot compete if there is the slightest doubt. Where is the proof that these athletes doped and cheated? It's mad. 3 minutes past the hour, Thursday, January 25th, 2018. Hope you're well. Hope you've had a good Thursday. Welcome to the Richie Allen Show.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Got a pretty packed program for you tonight, too. Special guests, not strangers at all to your Richie Allen Show. Coming up on hour two, the legendary publisher of the Trends Journal, Gerald Celente himself, joins the program, speculating, looking ahead to 2018, trend-wise, geopolitical, economic trends. No better man than Gerald. He joins me. And this hour, the first time this year, we'll be live to Oahu in Hawaii to chat with Michael Rivero, whatreallyhappened.com. Lot to talk about with Michael, of course. As usual, if you want to contribute, you've only got to tweet at Richie Allen Show. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Not on email just yet. Will be, though, by the time we get to Sunday View on Sunday. So that's it. Let's rock on and crack on with the show. Are you well? Are you in good form? Are you in fine fettle? I'm in good form myself. Not a bad day today. Packed old day today, but not a bad day at all. Some interesting things going on. We're live, by the way, on fabradiointernational.com, triggerwarning.tv, and, of course, live on richieallen.co.uk. It's where I prefer you to be. All right. So there you are. Articles on the website today. A couple of new articles on there. Check them out, richieallen.co.uk. Well, a lot of the UK media coverage today has been given over to the President's Club charity bash, which I talked about at great length yesterday. Not going to speak about it too much this evening. There is an article on the website today about it and about what might be really going on. But it's all over the news today. Nadeem Zawad... This isn't deliberate, by the way. This is typical of me. There was a time when I was pretty good with pronunciations. Nadeem Zahawi, that's the guy, the children's minister, who was at the dinner and who later said that he was appalled with what he heard from the Financial Times journalist who went to the event undercover. But he said he would never again in his life go to an all-male event. Well, he's under pressure, apparently. He's under pressure. My opinion hasn't changed overnight. This event was packed out with Bullingdon boys, elitist, tough, snobs, assholes, basically. My opinion is these women knew whom they would be serving and they knew what was going to go on. That's all I'm saying about it. Anyway, we said enough about it yesterday. And today, had a good laugh today. You know, the World Economic Forum is on in Davos. The world leaders and finance ministers, the great and the good, not really, the despots and the despicable are in Davos. And typically, with the UK media, you're getting a lot of this special relationship bollocks. Trump and May and the special relationship between the US and the United Kingdom. Now, Kay Burley of Sky News today chaired a debate between the former ambassador to the United States, a man called Sir Peter Westmacott, and the former US ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. I'm sure you remember John Bolton, even if you don't remember Sir Peter Westmacott. Ambassadors to the US are normally not that well known. There's a couple of exceptions, of course. Right. So Westmacott and John Bolton came on to debate the special relationship. Now, not to put too fine a point on it, John Bolton is a nut job. He's a neocon nutcase left over from the George W. Bush days. But he's the latest guest to get annoyed by Kay Burley's sneering, condescending style and her propensity for editorialising. It was a bit of a giggle to hear this. This was late this afternoon. This is Burley and John Bolton. You'll hear a little bit from Westmacott, but it's really about Burley and Bolton.
Now, there are some issues that are going to be difficult, and I'm sure that he and the Prime Minister spoke about them today, such as the deal with Iran. I don't think the President's a slippery fish on Iran. I think he's going to get out of this disastrous nuclear deal. And so it'll be for the Europeans to help refashion efforts to stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power. But, he has a different style. He is not a conventional politician. And to that, I say, thank God Americans are sick of conventional politicians.
So, Peter, he does deals, or the country does deals, and then the president tries to get out of them.
Well, I disagree with Ambassador Bolton.
That's just absolutely not true.
We'll come back to you, Mr. Bolton. Go on, Sir Peter.
Well, Westmacott had his say. It's not very interesting, so I won't play it to you. Then she did eventually get back to a stewing in his own juices, John Bolton.
Let's bring Mr. Bolton in. Why are you cross?
Well, I want to come back to your comments. I'm going to be a little bit more direct here. I think what you've said is offensive and inappropriate. You are a munchkin in the media, and you may have your opinions, but I think your job is to try and present the news accurately and not editorialize. If you'd like to tell me where you think the president has behaved in a way you disagree with, let's have an example of it, and I'd be happy to deal with it.
Okay, what in particular are we talking about? Are we talking about what's happening with Iran?
You said the president slips in and out of deals. What's your problem specifically?
My problem specifically is that we were talking about Iran. I was saying he wants to get out of the deal that the United States has done as far as Iran is concerned.
There's nothing slippery about that. It's entirely appropriate when a country realizes it's made a strategic mistake or circumstances have changed to get out of an international agreement. I can give you any number of examples. President George W. Bush, for example, quite correctly took the United States out of the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty so that we could have a national missile defense capability to protect against the likes of Iran and North Korea. That's not slippery. That's operating in the national interest. Do you think Britain is slippery for getting out of the European Union? Maybe you should call your whole country slippery.
Really, Sir Peter, I don't know. Okay, you've had your say, Mr. Bolton. We're going to come back to you in just a second. Calm down. I may not be a munchkin, but I'm certainly beyond a little bit lower than average height. Sir Peter, what do you make of what Mr. Bolton had to say?
Munchkin. Peter, or Sir Peter Westmacott, is no fool. He wasn't born yesterday. He wasn't going to say very much. He wanted more from Burley and Bolton, and we got it. Munchkin.
It's perfectly normal in the course of international relations for countries to enter deals and to withdraw from them. And if there's any doubt, I think, in the United Kingdom, let me do what I can here to eliminate it. I think the president's going to get out of the Iran nuclear deal, and what we should be doing is talking about the next steps that flow from it. This deal was an economic, was a diplomatic debacle for the United States. It was a clear strategic mistake, and it is time to get out of it. Ambassador Westmacott and I may disagree on this. My point with you, to make it very clear, is that I think you're unprofessional. I think your comments were uncalled for.
Okay.
And maybe you think that's your business. Now, perhaps you'll let me finish this time.
Please.
I just don't think it advances. Thank you. I don't think it advances the cause of informing your listeners.
Okay. Do you have any view on the Paris Agreement, the Paris Accord, and what he should do as far as that's concerned? Of course.
Yeah, he had plenty to say on the Paris Accord and why the United States should leave that as well. The irony, of course, shouldn't be lost on anyone listening to that. Rupert Murdoch lackey Kay Burley being schooled on, well, objectivity by neocon nutcase, also pal of Rupert Murdoch and Murdoch's Fox Empire. He's a regular contributor to Fox, John Bolton. I thought that might tickle you. It certainly tickled me. It brightened up an otherwise dull afternoon. All this special relationship bollocks. But I suppose we'll bring you just a little bit of it. Going to talk briefly about Palestine in a second, because Trump did meet and did speak in front of the cameras with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, about the peace process. Before we hear that, though, do you want to hear some of this special relationship nonsense? It'll make you vomit.
The Prime Minister and myself have had a really great relationship, although some people don't necessarily believe that, but I can tell you it's true. I have a tremendous respect for the Prime Minister and the job she's doing. And I think the feeling is mutual from the standpoint of liking each other a lot. And so that was a little bit of a false rumor out there. I just wanted to correct it, frankly, because we have great respect for everything you're doing.
We continue to have that really special relationship between the UK and the United States, standing shoulder to shoulder, because we're facing the same challenges across the world.
Yeah, you see, I wrote about this shit today on richieallen.co.uk about how the cable news channels have replaced the soap operas in your living rooms. This bollocks masquerades as news. Yeah, we love you and you love us, and we have shared values, and we face the same problems internationally. and hours of media are given over to this crap. It's unbelievable. It's madness. The countries that maim, murder and torture together stay together, I suppose. Maybe there is a special relationship. Now, Trump was cheesed off that the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, didn't meet his number two, Mike Pence, when Mike Pence was in Israel, or Israel, as the Palestinians would see it. So Pence was over there. Trump was cheesed off that the Palestinians didn't come to meet Pence. Well, why would they? Pence was there to kiss serious Israeli ass and rubber stamp Jerusalem as Israel's capital, which it isn't. Of course it's not Israel's capital. The Jews, as a bunch of believers, as a bunch of worshippers, have no historic ties to that part of the world. How many times do we have to say it? It is not their capital. Anyway, so Trump's not happy, and he's warning that, well, there won't be any aid for the Palestinians. You've got to love the Palestinians, because there is nothing else that anybody else can do that will break the spirit of those men and women in Gaza. Nothing. I imagine they laugh when somebody like Trump says, you're not getting any more money. Really? Right. Anyway, this is what Trump had to say.
When they disrespected us a week ago by not allowing our great vice president to see them, and we give them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Our great vice president. Wow.
In aid and support, tremendous numbers. Numbers that nobody understands. That money is on the table, and that money's not going to them unless they sit down and negotiate peace. Because I can tell you that Israel does want to make peace.
Oh, it doesn't. Israel doesn't want peace with anybody. Israel wants war. War. Never-ending war. What is it good for? That's what Israel wants. Doesn't want peace. No chance. It wants war.
And they're going to have to want to make peace too. Or we're going to have nothing to do with it any longer.
Yeah, the Palestinians just want all their land back. In fact, the Palestinians' demands could be summed up in a few short sentences. Please give us back all of that fucking land that you stole for us over the last 5, 6, 7 decades. Please. That's what we want. Please knock down these walls. Please stop kidnapping our children because they throw stones at you. Stop locking them up for weeks on end without access to a solicitor or to their parents. Please just stop doing that. And please stop bombing the fucking shit out of us every 2 or 3 years when the mood takes you. Please stop doing that. That's all we want. It's not much, really. Oh, turn the water on, by the way. And let us have access to our port so that we can get vital aid in from overseas. That's all we want. How about that? All right. 17 and a half minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show for Thursday, the 25th of January 2018. Talked about richieallen.co.uk and guest authors. Well, the one and only, you won't be surprised, Jean-Anne Crowley, former writer for the Sunday Times, the Irish Independent, The Guardian, and formerly of Doctor Who fame and Tenko and Educating Rita. Jean-Anne has written a terrific article, a terrific piece on all of this Me Too movement. It's very good, and I'm going to post it and publish it on richieallen.co.uk tomorrow, so I will. So thanks for that, Jean-Anne. And I have one or two other guest writers and contributors lined up in the coming weeks. But I wanted Jean-Anne to be the first because she's a great mate. We've become very close friends since this programme began. I knew of Jean-Anne, but I didn't know anything about her. But she's been over to see us a couple of times here, and she's been a huge support to the show. Brilliant article. I'd love to put it on there tonight, but I'll save it for tomorrow. I've got to put some images in there. And I'm glad that she's done that. 18 and a half minutes past the hour. Shall I read a few tweets? By the way, Trigger Warning is live tonight at 10 p.m. UK time. Hayden Hewitt, the presenter, of course. Who else? One of the topics for tonight is halal and kosher slaughter methods. It's going to be uncomfortable viewing, says Hayden, but this barbaric practice must stop. He's taking on kosher and halal slaughter, among other issues, at 10 p.m. live at triggerwarning.tv, liveleak.com and YouTube as well. I recommend it. Not for the faint-hearted. says Hayden. It's not for the faint-hearted, usually. It's a brilliant watch. Trigger warning is a very appropriate name for it. Very quick break. When we're back in a minute, we'll hook up with the great Mike Rivero in Oahu, Hawaii. Back in a minute.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at creativeimaginings.com.au.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Welcome back to the program. In about 2 minutes' time, Michael Rivero will be with us live from Oahu in Hawaii. Looking forward to catching up with Mike. Last time he was on was early December. I like catching up with him every few weeks for a good chin wag. Great English colloquialism, chin wag, about the news, about the big news of the week. So what have I got lined up? Boy, I've got some old Duran Duran for you. Why not? It's just there, isn't it? This big library of music. Pull stuff out at random. Thursday's Richie Allen Show, January 25th, 2018. I am Richie Allen. Welcome to the programme. Mike Rivero next. Gerald Celente live in the second hour of the programme. Thanks for tuning in. Tweet at Richie Allen Show.
Meeting you with a view to a kill. Face to faces, secret places, feel the chill. You know the plans I'm making still.
Right, 24 and a half past the hour. Duran Duran, A View to a Kill on the Richie Allen Show, January 25th, 2018. Terrific website, whatreallyhappened.com. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. Great information on there. Vital information. Information that is kept hidden from you by commercial and national media. Its owner-operator and the host of the What Really Happened radio show is none other than our old pal, the terrific journalist Mike Rivero. Michael, welcome back. Happy New Year. It's the last time I'm going to say that this year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you too, and glad to be back.
That's great to have you, Mike. Thanks. Did you have a nice break? Did you get a break over the festive period? Did you chill out? Did you wind down?
Not as much as I would have liked. A lot of stuff was going on. You probably heard we had this so-called accidental missile alert about a week ago that got everybody riled up.
You've just schooled me, my friend, because I just sent you a little PM saying that we should talk, obviously, about the President's Club and some interesting news on your website. But that would, of course, be remiss of me. Of course, we should start with the missile alert. What went on there, Mike? Give us the lowdown. Tell us what we don't know about that.
Well, it was Saturday morning, a little over a week ago. Almost 2 weeks ago now. And we're trying to chill out. We're trying to relax. And all of a sudden, the TV sets and the cell phones all light up with a banner saying ballistic missile threat headed toward Hawaii. Seek shelter immediately. This is no drill. And a lot of people just sort of shrugged and said, there's nothing we can do. We don't even know where the missile is going, which island it's aimed at. A lot of people panicked. They were putting their kids down in the storm drains. Obviously, people next to city buildings could get into the basements or the parking garages, and they did that. Those of us out here in the residential areas, we're living in very thin-walled homes. You know, if there's a nearby nuclear blast, there's really not much that we can do about it. But when the alert first went out, I was kind of suspicious because we also, in addition to the banners on the electronic devices, we have a siren warning system. And it's normally used to warn of incoming tsunamis, but they just added a second different sound to the system to warn of a ballistic missile attack. And those sirens were not going off. So right from the beginning, I was kind of questioning what was going on. Then, all of a sudden, the sirens located around Pearl Harbor went off, and for about 5 minutes, Claire and I thought it was the real deal, that there was an inbound nuclear ballistic missile. And then finally, the local news got out there saying, no, it's a false alarm, it's a hoax, there is no, the alert's a fake here. And people are very angry because it took our state governor, Ige, something like 27 minutes to get onto Twitter and say it's a false alarm. And he's claiming he couldn't get on Twitter sooner than that because he forgot his Twitter password. And then a lot of people are also very angry that the state emergency management agency didn't put out a second set of banners on the TVs and smartphones saying ignore the last message. It was a mistake for 38 minutes. Originally the state emergency management agency said, well, we had to wait for FEMA's permission. FEMA came back and said, no, you don't need our permission to correct a mistaken alert. And so it's going round and round. There's a lot of hemming and hawing. But what I think is going, there was somebody even circulated a story that there really was a missile, but it was shot down and the U.S. for some reason covered it up, which makes no sense because the U.S. is looking for any excuse they can get to go to war on North Korea. So what I think they were doing, and this is based on the fact they had a similar accidental alert in Japan 2 days later, I think it was actually a test of how the public was going to react when they got that alert. I think that they were just watching all the people through all those TV cameras we have on all of our street lights and street signs, and they were just seeing how everybody was going to react, whether it would be a blind panic or people would just, you know, hang loose as they tend to do here in Hawaii. But that's my theory of what happened, and that's why it went on so long.
So, Michael, you don't think there was a benevolent reason for that, that it was just a drill they wanted to see? They were actually doing it for more nefarious reasons. People were like guinea pigs. And by the way, I can't imagine how that must have felt. There's nothing funny about that. I mean, you describing, you and Claire there thinking, you know, we could be hit by something. That would scare the absolute bejesus out of me. That's terrible.
Yes, well, you know, Claire and I are preppers, and we, you know, if we survive the initial blast, we've got storable food and water, and We've got, pills to help deal with avoiding radiation sickness and so forth. But the question is, where's the missile going to be aimed? We look down over Pearl Harbor, which is obviously going to be a first strike target if we go to nuclear war. And I've run the calculations myself. We could probably survive a North Korean nuclear hit on Pearl Harbor, but not a Russian one and not a Chinese one. And so that's just the reality of where we are. So we've developed a little bit of an emergency plan to basically, if there's another alert that comes in and we think it's real, we're going to hop in the car with as much survival gear as we can and drive over to a nearby very deep canyon that would at least shield us from the blast. Jesus. That's our plan.
Wow, a lot of people there older than you probably thought that they were finished with all of this sort of nonsense.
Of people younger than us thought that they were finished with all this nonsense. I mean, a lot of people really got scared. It was very convincing. And it was for about 5 minutes there. Claire and I really thought this was the end of it.
Well, we're glad, of course, that there was that it seemed to be some sort of drill. It wasn't something that they were doing in people's best interest then by way of a surprise drill. It was something a bit more sinister.
Well, we're not really sure. It may have been to assist in civil planning and getting the government and the people ready to deal with the nuclear attack. I think, if anything, it underscored the fact that Hawaiians really aren't prepared for this kind of an eventuality. We're all prepared for tsunamis and hurricanes. We're not really prepared for a nuclear attack, and so we may be getting some guidance from that. Or, given how eager the United States is to start a war with North Korea before the two Koreas reunify, they could be looking at a false flag. They could flip a missile at Hawaii, blame it on North Korea, and we'd be off and running to the races.
And, of course, these lunatics, they see people like you and me and our friends and neighbors as expendable. Of course they do. They murder as easy as they have a cup of coffee. Michael Rivero's life, obviously bookmark whatreallyhappened.com if you haven't before. Check it out. Michael, we've had a good laugh, as well as seeing the serious side of the President's Club story. You know, the women who attended it as hostesses must have known that they were going to be dealing with these Bullingdon Club elitist, filthy rich toffs, as we would call them, horrible people. They knew what they were getting themselves into. Mountain out of a molehill. There's also that agenda, of course, to, I think, ultimately to emasculate men and to damage the minds of young men by collating real rape and real sexual abuse with behaviour that's not as serious. But that's maybe for another day.
Yeah.
You're intrigued, Mike, by the fact that the British media has mentioned a lot of names of men who are at that all-male dinner, but the UK, and I can confirm Michael is absolutely right on this, by the way, Michael's article is excellent, the media hasn't mentioned the names of several other men who are at the dinner, men who, well, let's say they represent a certain political point of view. Go ahead, Mike, this is really big.
Well, it's a makeup of the membership here, and I'm just bringing up the story right now to take a look at it. But apparently, and I'm in agreement with you, these women were told they had to wear black slinky clothes, they were allowed to drink alcohol while on duty, they had to know what kind of a party it was going to be. And you're absolutely right. Women they want to get that moment of fame by saying, oh, I was harassed, I was assaulted. It's gotten so ridiculous that over in France, which used to sort of be the world capital of flirtatious behavior, now it's a 90-euro fine for a man to comment on a woman's body.
Madness.
Even to say that she looks really good, 90-euro fine. And apparently this President's Club has been forced to shut down, and they're distributing the rest of their funds they're just distributing the rest of the money and they're going to shut it on down. But apparently, a quick look at the President's Club's official Charity Commission's webpage reveals that two out of the three trustees of the charity are very much linked with Israel.
Yeah.
It's David Robert Meller is a trustee for the Tel Aviv University charity, as well as the British Friends of the Jaffa Institute. And Mr. Harvey Soning is connected with Youth Alaya, Child Rescue. He's also a trustee of the Jewish Community Secondary School Trust. So this was, obviously a very pro-Israel, pro-Jewish, probably heavy Jewish membership club, and they got caught behaving in this deplorable fashion, and they've had to basically shut it down. I imagine that it won't be too long before they'll open a new club under a new name and go on behaving the same way.
Yeah, you're right to mention that. While, obviously, Meller's name was mentioned all the time, of course it was, his links to Israel, Tel Aviv University, and his links to the others, Sonig and the third one we mentioned there, were just absolutely kept out of the UK media. It just hasn't been mentioned. And, you know, I suppose there'll be people listening saying, well, why is it relevant? Well, of course it's relevant. It's never been more relevant than it is now. Back to, I mean, you mentioned France there, Mike. To be fair to France, to be the devil's advocate there, while that is happening in France, we do have luminaries of French cinema like Catherine Deneuve, who's coming out strongly with many other French actresses saying that this is just crazy. Why are we trying to criminalise natural human behaviour? You know, Mike, I don't know how many times you were rejected when you were, gorgeous, Mike. You were probably never rejected. But when I was a young man, when I was asking girls to dance and asking girls did they want to drink, Mike, you know, I was knocked back plenty of times. Nobody took offence. I wasn't offended. The girls weren't offended. Do you know this morning, Mike, young girls, 19, 20, 21, they were on national radio this morning saying that they are sick and tired of going out for a drink. They're fed up of men asking to buy them drinks, and they're fed up of men asking them to dance. It's terrible. This sort of harassment can't go on, Mike. What's going on, Michael?
Well, we saw the same thing going on back in the 1990s as part of the militant feminist movement, where all men were declared to be potential rapists. And it's just, it's divide and conquer to keep people apart. And you're right. They're creating a climate in which there's a great deal of hostility being generated between men and women, and they're criminalizing natural, normal human behavior. That's a very liberal thing to do. They think that they can control the mind by just controlling the environment around it. That's never really worked on out. And these things are a matter of fashion. Catherine Deneuve was saying, you know, she likes to be told that she's got a cute butt, and women like to be told that they look beautiful. There's nothing really wrong with it. I remember when I was working in Europe, back in, when I had a film career, when I was working in Munich, Germany, at a company there, the women literally expected you to be flirted with. If you didn't tell them they looked great today and what a nice scarf that is and so forth, your paperwork might wind up going missing for a while.
Wow.
There was a little bit of retaliation. So the women expected that kind of flattery and attention. Meanwhile, at the same time in the United States, the feminists were out there saying, oh, it's demeaning to women. It's objectifying women. And again, it's all about turning us against ourselves so that we don't unite against the real enemy of all the American people, of all genders and biases and colors. And that is, of course, an unbelievably corrupt central government. And more of that is surfacing now, with between the FISA memo and these text messages from the FBI, it's becoming more and more obvious there actually was a group inside the FBI plotting the overthrow of President Trump. And bit by bit, the story's being pried out, and we're starting to see who's the good guy and who's the bad guy based on people coming on out and saying, no, you can't release the FISA memo. The American people are too stupid to understand it. We actually had a member of Congress say that.
That's right.
Now it's a threat to national security. And these comments are all coming from people who haven't actually read the memo yet, because it's classified and only a few people have actually seen it.
Michael, is it true? Is there tangible evidence that proves senior Republican power brokers know about this, knew of it, and as people like yourself and people like Paul Craig Roberts have been saying, are sitting on evidence that could exonerate Trump and Trump's team from any accusations of Russian interference and Russian meddling? Are senior Republicans sitting on this?
Well, I don't know if they're sitting on tangible evidence, but the sad reality is that we have some Republicans like John McCain who also want Trump out. And for pretty much the same reason the Democrats want him out, they've lost control of the government. The deep state, the inner corrupted web, if you will, has had a firm lock on the path of the country for decades now. And all of a sudden, the Republican leadership lost control of the Republican Party during the election. And Trump got in, and that he was the last one they wanted to get on in. That's why they resent him. He represents their loss of control over the party machinery. And we saw the same thing happening on the Democratic side, where the Debbie Wasserman Schultz was literally handing the nomination to Hillary Clinton and sabotaging Bernie Sanders, and everybody got to see it. So the main reason so many people want Donald Trump out, he cannot be relied on to keep the lid on all these investigations. And these investigations are starting to happen, and Trump is allowing them to go forward. And that was something that Hillary would not do. If Hillary had won that election, everybody could relax and go on being corrupt, because there would never be an investigation anywhere. Or if there was, it would basically come to a dead end the way the investigation into Hillary's email server did.
You know, I'm fascinated by this, and it's great having you on every month, because you're right on top of it there, and I don't have the access that you have. I just get the impression that, you know, I'm going to say this, Mike, I always say it, I just think that the true elites, the true power holders globally, they sit back, Mike, and they laugh at all this because they don't care one way or the other. Whether it's a Democrat, a Republican, a maverick like Trump, it doesn't matter a damn. We're all distracted with it. We can't help being. It's important that we use what's happening to show people what's going on. But the true power brokers, I think, Michael, couldn't care less.
Well, I disagree with you on that one. I agree to the point that they don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat in any given office, because they own all the candidates even before the election happens. But Donald Trump is a loose cannon on deck, and I think they are concerned that he could allow investigations into certain areas that directly affect them, such as George Soros. I'm sure he's very concerned about being investigated for basically, subverting our government and hiring people to come on in and commit acts of violence. He could be up for an investigation on that one.
And so, Soros, you're right. Sorry, you're absolutely right. Soros is guilty of all of that and more. And nation building, as Soros would call it, which nation destroying, basically. The problem I have with that is Soros is Zionist to his DNA, beloved by Israel, even though, of course, he's one of these, you know, liberals that they put out there to pretend to be occasionally in opposition to Israeli policies. But he's a Zionist to the bone. And Trump, we even see today at Davos, Trump is absolutely owned by the Zionist lobby. You know, this nonsense, yes, about Palestine again today. So I don't disagree with you, but do you know what, Mike? I just get tied up in knots. This is so mad, trying to, it's like a big ball of twine. You know, I believe you're actually right that Trump is that much of a maverick, that much of a loose cannon. I don't believe Trump is in his right mind, to be honest. I do believe that Trump could allow things happen, whether he realises it or not. But you can't get away from the fact that, you know, he's a Zionist puppet. Is Trump, well, I'm saying.
Yeah, he's certainly heavily influenced. And we knew that going on in. But then so is Hillary Clinton. And unfortunately, Israel does have a lock on our political system to our detriment. And I'd like to see something done about that. Most countries do not allow dual citizens to work within the government. And the United States, unfortunately, does. And that's why we've lost control of our own country.
Yeah, that's right. We're heading into 2018, Mike. I'll be speaking with Gerald Celente a little bit later on, looking ahead to what we can expect this year. The Koreans, Mike, putting a unified team into the Winter Olympics, not in all sports, of course. That's a really interesting development, isn't it? At the time when, you know, we're being told to believe that the North have nuclear capability, that he's crazy, that he's dangerous, that he has to be dealt with. And out of the blue comes this collaboration in one team sport in the Winter Olympics. What do we make of that, Mike? Can we possibly hope that both sides of the border in Korea, the North and the South, are sick to death of the warmongers in the West, and they're worried?
And they're, yes, they are.
Go
they
ahead.
They are. And I even predicted on my radio show first part of the week that probably both Koreas understand the only way to keep the United States from coming back into the Korean Peninsula and making a mess of the place is to immediately reunify. And South Korean President Moon Jae-in has been championing the Sunshine Policy. And Kim Jong-un is not opposed to reunification and points the finger of blame at the U.S. for keeping it from happening. But over the last 24 hours, both sides have started issuing statements saying, yes, they're going to reunify. They're not going to allow any outside countries to stand in the way of reunification. And so, yeah, it's really going to happen. And that just pulls the rug right out from underneath of the U.S. efforts to start a war in North Korea. Because what are they going to do now? Start a war with the southern part of Korea, who's supposed to be our friends that we're economically tied up with?
It's amazing. If you'd have said to me last year, and I know we've only got a couple of minutes, you've got to go to air soon. If you'd have said to me last year that there would be serious calls for a reconciliation between the North and the South, and those calls would be coming from both sides, I wouldn't have believed it, Michael. You know, very little shocks people like you and people like me. We've been doing these programs for so long. But to see these people saying, look, let's get together and let's start talking, it's incredible, really. And you know what's amazing about it, Michael? We have this Davos thing today. Do you know, right across UK media today, of course you won't be surprised, there's been little, in fact, there's been no talk whatsoever about the statements of Kim Jong-un. None. It should be, of course, it should be the lead story. It should be running all day long, but not a mention of it.
No, not on our American media either, because the U.S. doesn't want that to happen. It would allow the One Belt, One Road project to reach all the way into South Korea, and South Korea could export their products to Europe much more quickly, much more economically. That would deprive business from U.S. and British-owned shipping companies, cargo shipping companies. I mean, 5 years ago, the two Koreas were very close to reunification, and the U.S. got on in there and just mucked it all up. And Kim Jong-un has even made specific mention of the United States as being a threat to the reunification. The United States doesn't like reunification. They like tension. Remember, shortly before John F. Kennedy was assassinated, the president of South Vietnam was assassinated. And the reason he was assassinated is he was trying to end the war and reunify with North Vietnam.
Final question, Mike. I don't like ending on negatives, but I've got to throw this in there. So the neocon Zionist military-industrial complex agenda that doesn't obviously want to see a reunification between the countries, their only play, Michael, is false flag terror to bring about.
Yes.
Right? It's their only play, right?
Yeah, false flag terror or assassination of either or possibly both of the leaders, or simply start the war before the reunification can actually happen. And I think that is probably the most likely, because there's been a lot of military aviation flying through this island, very heavy cargo planes. A lot of assets are being sent over to the Western Pacific, supposedly as security for the Winter Olympics. But the two Koreas are saying, no, that's a lot of hardware. So I think what they're going to do, now that the two Koreas are talking reunification, that just ups the necessity of getting this war going any way they can. And yes, it's probably going to be launched with a false flag of some kind.
Michael, thanks for coming back on. I look forward to speaking to you next month. Thanks for being so candid about that missile alert and how you and Claire and everybody else felt about that. Can't have been nice, that. Folks, go to whatreallyhappened.com. Listen to Michael's radio show there. Always great to chat with you, mate. Speak again real soon. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Michael Rivero, live on the line from Oahu there in Hawaii. That can't have been nice, that. I was thinking that. It's been such a mega day. I wanted to get into the President's Club nonsense with Mike, and I had written down, don't forget to speak about the missile alert. And just as we were coming on air, I forgot about it. But what must that have been like for people there? You know what I mean? After a while, and it's not stopping, and there's no official word from the local authority there. Absolutely terrifying. It's exactly 11 minutes to the top of the hour. This is Thursday's Richie Allen Show, live on richieallen.co.uk. We're also on fabradiointernational.com, triggerwarning.tv, and TuneIn Radio. And I don't mention it often enough, but if you are somebody who prefers to download, you might be listening to this now Well, you might be listening to it on Friday, and you might be listening to it on the repeats on richieallen.co.uk. But if you are somebody who likes to download stuff, the programme can be downloaded via podomatic.com, iTunes and Spotify. We're on Spotify as well. But it's also available on the Truth Seeker app, which I recommend because, as well as the Richie Allen Show, there are a lot of excellent independent content, independent shows, independent content creators featured by the Truth Seeker app. Download the Truth Seeker app. It's well worth it, believe me. Right, some more music then. When I come back, we'll take some of your comments. Many of you, a lot of you commenting on the North Korea, South Korea thing, possible reunification, as well as plenty of comments as well on the... My mind's gone blank. Oh yeah, on Donald Trump and who and what Donald Trump really is and what he represents. Back in a couple of minutes.
Richie Allen.
She stood there bright as the sun on that California coast. He was a Midwestern boy on his own. She looked at him with those soft eyes so innocent and blue. He knew right then he was too far from home. Too far from home. She took his hand and she led him along that golden beach. They watched the waves tumble over the sand. They drove for miles and miles on those twisting, turning roads.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's 4.5 minutes to the top of the hour. Hollywood Nights, Bob Seger on your Richie Allen Show, spoke in the monologue yesterday about the possibility. It was a joke, of course, about me waiting tables to make a few extra quid. It was I was mocking the women who were complaining about being groped at the President's Club event, and I mocked up a scenario where I might be asked to go to an event attended by gay men, that I might be asked to wear leather shorts and a mesh top and boots and all of that. And John Nichols, who listens to the programme, and he was obviously listening last night, John mocked up a picture that I shared today for the laugh. It did make me laugh a lot when I saw it this morning, of me, my head superimposed onto the body of a very fit man. And I'm fit right now. I'm in very good shape now. It was noticed at the David Icke book launch in November when people said to me, who'd seen me on the TV show, who said, Jesus, you lost some weight there, Richie. I'm in very good shape. I'm running the 5K every morning. I know I bore you to death with that every now and then, but I'm not in the sort of shape that my head was superimposed. The body, the shape, I'm not in that sort of shape. I don't think I'd like to be in that sort of shape. Not anymore. Not anymore. Maybe when I was younger. But thanks, John Nichols, for making me laugh today. I did share it. It's on Facebook and it's on Twitter. And it made plenty of other people laugh as well. It's a little bit disturbing is what it is. Yeah, if I was as good as that with Photoshop, I would be spending my time making photographs of the people I know and sending them to them. Lots of tweets came in, by the way, during Michael's conversation, my conversation with Michael. So let me get through some of them. Let me say hello to some listeners, to Sarash Yacoub. How you doing, Sarash Yacoub? Medi, thanks for listening to the programme. To Mark Morrison, happy Burns night, everyone says. Mark, yes indeed. Enjoy the haggis now before Rabbi's big night is banned, as he's been called a sex pest in the press today. Is that right? I didn't see that today. Don't tell me the snowflakes are going after Burns. They're not going after Robert Burns, are they? Really? Really? You'll have to send me some links to some articles. Hi to JP in Manchester. Thanks for the memes. I'm not retweeting as much stuff as I used to because it's going straight to my personal Facebook page. I don't know how to stop it doing that. And it's clogging it up, and it looks like I'm incessantly putting stuff on Facebook, which I'm not. I have to try and figure out how to work the settings so that my tweets are not going to my personal Facebook page. But thanks for those tweets. Number of tweets there about paedophilia, about vaccines, and about much more besides as well. Hi to Charlotte A. How you doing, Charlotte? Hi to Base Ninja as well. Let me scroll down. Let's have a look. Yeah, JP tweeted the front page of the Star from some years ago when the Labour MP, Tom Watson, who I think might still be the deputy leader of the Labour Party, is he? He was for a time. Is he still? It doesn't matter to me anymore, but he might be, he might not be. Maybe I should know that. I think he might still be. And Watson was claiming at the time of Savile's death, or not long after Savile died, that there was a paedophile ring linked to number 10 Downing Street. Well, we know that Margaret Thatcher, former UK Prime Minister, we know that she kept in her cabinet men whom she knew to be molesters of children. We know that Margaret Thatcher's father, a shopkeeper, was a molester of young girls. We know this. Thatcher knew all about it. What else was Thatcher doing? I don't know. Nobody has ever accused Thatcher of anything herself, which leads me to believe that Thatcher was probably a victim of child abuse. I don't believe Thatcher was a molester of children herself. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that is because nothing, there's never been a whisper of it around anybody I know, you know, people whom are in the know. I've never said that Thatcher herself was accused of anything. But Thatcher knew about Morrison and Heyman and Leon Britton, you know, and others, well aware of it, that they had a tendency to, well, to rape children, effectively. So maybe that's what Tom Watson meant when he was talking about Savile. Of course, Thatcher was a great friend of Jimmy Savile's as well. So she must have known that Jimmy Savile had a penchant for raping people, the infirm, the sick, the very, very young. You know, I don't like to be a doomsayer or a doommonger. I don't believe for a minute the independent inquiry into historic child abuse is going to go anywhere, because it's not meant to. Even if the committee mean well and want to get to the bottom of it, they're going to be stonewalled. They're going to find documents have gone missing. Things were shredded. They're going to find that people they want to talk to have died in car crashes only 2 or 3 weeks ago. This is the way it goes. So I just don't believe we'll ever get to the bottom of it. So there you go. Cartoon Drunk tweets, Bobby Burns might be a trigger warning to the police, ? He might well be. But do send me any information if indeed people are saying that they have been triggered by Robert Burns, because that's just, well, it's ridiculous, you know. There you go. Paul Sweeney tweets, Richie, controversial, but I reckon Burns was a project man. Thanks for that, Paul. And Ricky Emmett tweets, Trump, Richie, is just following the plan. It is as simple as that. I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm not saying Ricky is wrong. Of course, I'm not saying that. I don't know. But I think Trump is Truman in the Truman Show. He is Truman Burbank in the Truman Show. It's all been created around Trump, and Trump is acting to type. That is my opinion on it. And most people don't agree with that, and that's good. That's fine. And thanks to Mark Morrison for sharing that article in The Guardian. Robert Burns, was the beloved poet a Weinsteinian sex pest? Jesus Christ. Jesus wept. Right, 3 minutes past the hour. Very quick break back. Don't forget, Gerald Celente joins me. He'll be with me in about 10 minutes' time. Can't wait to catch up with Gerald.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structure and application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper?
Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize,
yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings
may be the long-awaited answer, designed to help you finish your masterpiece
with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and
valuable information to get published.
Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at creativeimaginings.com.au.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
And you're very welcome back to it. 5.5 minutes past the hour. The week has kind of flown by, hasn't it? It has for me anyway. So really excited about the brand new richieallen.co.uk. And I have been spending a lot of time talking about it. But then why wouldn't I? We've got to promote it. Thank you for using it. It's a terrific, terrifically user-friendly brand new website. Very proud of it. Hayden Hewitt worked very hard on it, getting it up and running. I think it's lovely. But then I would do, because I obviously had the final say on how it looked, and it's obviously very subjective, but I'm delighted with it. It's very, very, very easy to use. The stream is there. The minute you go onto the website, you've got the access to the YouTube videos. I'll tidy that up tomorrow, make sure the new YouTube videos are going on there. And then you have the latest show on podcast there as well. And right underneath it, you can see the articles. So we have a number of articles on there over the last few days. The President's Club, my opinion piece on how the 24-hour cable news channels replaced the daytime soaps in our homes. There's articles there on censorship and on social media history and how your social media history can be used to cause you all sorts of problems. If you are looking for a job or anything, or a recommendation or anything at all, it's very serious, that. A couple of very big stories in the news this week about people's their Twitter history and how it's been held against them in terms of trying to demonise them and to bring them down. And that's very serious. And I did say this yesterday, and indeed I probably said it on Tuesday, but I'll say it again. If you're planning to apply for a position, a job that you need, I'd seriously consider deactivating your social media. I don't think you have to necessarily delete it, as in remove it permanently, but you might think about deactivating it, making it impossible for anybody else to get on there, because I guarantee you, especially you, because of the websites you read, because of the radio shows you listen to, not just this one, of course, that you can be eliminated from the process because of your political opinions, because of your points of view. This is the way it's going to go. This is the reason. This is one of several reasons these conglomerates, Google, Facebook and Twitter, have been allowed to monopolise the internet. This is one of many reasons. This spying agenda, the elite's ability to, at any time, Mary Murphy, right, hang on a second. Couple of clicks. Bang. There's Mary Murphy. Let's have a look back. 2011. All right. She's anti-abortion, is she? She's a bit of a Christian. What, she's interested in race relations, is she? Right, bang, she's gone. You see, that's the way it's going to be. It's not the way it's going to be. It's the way it is. Right there. You know, I'm fortunate. I did tell you the story, though, didn't I? Of my flight from Spain to London to interview for LBC Radio back in 2012. I'd been offered a job with them by their CEO, whom I'd spoken to on the phone. Your shows are very good, Richie. I like them a lot. I like your style. I like your CV. I've listened to your demos. I have spoken to your references, to your referees. We like you. And when I got to LBC, I was treated like a leper. It was dreadful, the worst experience of my life. Never felt as embarrassed. And later on, I was able to determine that they'd been looking at my Facebook page. And that because of my interest in InfoWars, in DavidIcke.com, in JimMars.com and everything else, I was suddenly persona non grata. Well, stay away from him. And it happened to me. And I was horrified by that. Yeah, we like you. We'll bring you in. We know you're an objective guy. You'll be interviewing politicians. And we know you'll be fair. Let's get you over here and let's get you in to the offices fairly lively. But between the time I left and the time I got there, oh, he's interested in conspiracy theories. Well, we can't have that. And that's the way it was. 11 minutes past the hour. That is the way it was. And that's been my only experience of it, because now I'm self-employed. I'm an independent operator, of course. I am an independent content creator. I know, of course, that any path to employment in the future, at least in media employment, is blocked. There is no way, Jose, that if I ever try to go back to commercial radio, that I would ever get a look in or a foot in a door anywhere because of what I've done. But I can live with that. You know, you make your choices. You do what's right. I'm not virtue signalling. I'm not Mother Teresa. I don't deserve a pat on the back. But I could never go back to traffic and sport and playing the latest Kanye West release or the latest Harry Styles or whatever the bloody, you know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't live with that, knowing the things that I know now is the answer anyway. So there you are. So be careful. If you're going to go for a job, deactivate those accounts. Believe me, I can't say that strongly enough, because if you don't, especially you, you've got no chance of that job, and I don't want to be scaremongering. Right, the legendary Gerald Celente has just pinged me to say he's standing by. That's always good. Don't forget triggerwarning.tv, the Trigger Warning Show with Hayden Hewitt, is at 10 p.m. UK time tonight, 10 p.m. UK time, on liveleak.com and triggerwarning.tv. We love Hayden Hewitt. This is Oasis, Cigarettes and Alcohol. Gerald Celente is next. Minutes past the hour, Oasis, Cigarettes and Alcohol on the Richie Allen Show for January 25th, and 18. Welcome back to the programme. Thanks for all the tweets. Great to see you so happy and excited about our next guest. He's an amazing man. He is the doyen of trends forecasting. There isn't anybody like him anywhere in the world for many, many years. Don't forget, he's worked in politics, of course, at very high levels as well. For many years, he's been accurately forecasting geopolitical and economic trends. Fantastic. I can't recommend the Trends Journal highly enough, and I recommend you go to trendsresearch.com and subscribe to the journal if you haven't done already. Doyen, I mean that. Let's welcome back to the show our friend Gerald Celente. Mr. Celente, welcome back. It's been a while. How are you?
Ah, Mr. Allen, thank you for the kind words.
It's true. There's nobody like you. You've been doing it for years. I can't think of anybody else who's been so absolutely on the money so many times over so many years. You deserve it, mate. Great to have you on. Did you have a nice holiday period? I know it's been a few weeks. Did you rest and relax and rest up? Christmas must have been great over there.
Well, yes. You know, it's it's funny. You know, when you get older, all of a sudden, it's another day.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I could go through the New Year's Eves that I'm lucky to be alive, you know, the wild stuff you do in your life. And then you get to a point where it's another day, you know, so that's the way I just relax through it now, you know, different mindset. But I'm grateful for, of course, everything that we have. And being in Colonial Kingston, New York, at the most historic Four Corners in America, the only place where there are pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings on each corner, you know, it's a different hit, you know, so I like it.
One time, Gerald, I visited your great city one time. It was back in 2003. And wow. I was over in Kingston, and it is beautiful. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, I was only there for a week. I'd love to go back to New York, an amazing place. Thanks for giving us your time today. Trendsresearch.com, folks, check it out. Busy man, in constant demand by the media around the world. We love the fact you give us a bit of time here. Loved what you've been saying in the journal about 2018. It promises to be, in Ireland we'd say, it's going to be a mad year. It's going to be a frantic year, Gerald, and I was speaking to our first guest this evening about North Korea and South Korea, the potential for reunification there, what that might do to the warmongers who obviously have other plans for Korea. We know the World Economic Forum is on in Davos at the moment. The great and the good, or the tyrants, are in Davos at the moment, divvying up the spoils. What should people look out for in 2018? What's going to be the big story this year?
Well, again, people are talking about North Korea. We're not, because if the United States starts a war against North Korea, kiss South Korea goodbye.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the North Korean border. The border is, 35 miles away from Seoul, and Seoul, South Korea, has some 24 million people there. And so they'd annihilate the joint, you know, in a second. And so we don't see a problem happening there. And the United States is quite upset, and they're sending that little lowlife piece of garbage, our Vice President Pence. You know, I get a kick out of these guys that play the God card all the time, like little evangelical Pence boy. On one hand, they play the evangelical card, but boy, do they love murder. No, it's only war, man. We'll call it something else. You know, it's not murder, not when we do it. So they're sending him over there to the Olympics and trying to deflect the warmth that's trying to be generated by these two countries that really don't want to fight. And the reality is that North Korea made it very clear why they were going to get weapons, and that nuclear weapons, and that is they saw what happened to Gaddafi, and they saw what happened to Assad. And so they said, it's not going to happen to us. And by the way, all these Americans, and I'm one of them, that believe in the Second Amendment, and that's the right to bear arms, well, just because I have guns, that doesn't mean I'm going to kill somebody. So just because North Korea has weapons, that doesn't mean they're going to kill somebody with them. But the reality is only America is allowed to have weapons and murder millions of people around the world. No one else should have them. So that's the psychotics that are running the country. What we're most concerned about is what they're doing in building up the hatred against Iran. And that's the flashpoint that we're looking at. And you're seeing it with when they had those demonstrations in Iran several weeks ago, the propaganda pouring out of the United States to the extent that they were showing, rather than the protesters, they were putting up in USA Today, in one major media after another, they were putting up photos of pro-Iranian rallies and calling it protesters.
Yeah.
So that's what we're most concerned about, because if there's war against Iran, this is going to be the war, the end all wars. It'll be the Third World War.
And today in Davos, obviously, the president sat down with Theresa May in front of the cameras and also with Benjamin Netanyahu. And Netanyahu said fairly boldly and confidently several times that he expected the nuclear agreement to be ripped up. That of course, for our listeners who don't know, was the agreement that saw Iran say that it doesn't have any ambitions to make a weapon, it wouldn't do, in return for the lifting of economic sanctions, that of course, under Barack Obama. Netanyahu seems very confident, and you mentioned that Pence is on his way to the Far East, which he is. He's been in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem. He's obviously reaffirmed the US's commitment to honouring or accepting Jerusalem as Israel's capital, moving the embassy there. But the Iran thing, I share your concerns about that. Gerald, if the Trump administration, if they are to say the deal with Iran is null and void, it's over, what would that mean the following day, do you think? Because I don't know.
I don't know what it mean the following day, but also it's very important. Iran signed the deal, and all the atomic agencies are saying they're in full compliance. Now, the reality is that the United States keeps putting sanctions on them, and they signed the deal so they could do business. And by the way, that's all that North Korea wants to do. They want to be able to do business. But the United States keeps slapping sanctions on them. So what it's going to do, it's going to heat up tensions. You'll probably see something coming out. And again, you mentioned Nuts Netanyahu. This is a guy that's saying Iran, they will not tolerate Iran having bases or a permanent base in Syria. Who's Israel to say that?
Yeah.
What right do they have? And by the way, Israel is the only country that could break international law as they continue to do, as they keep stealing Palestinian land and turning it into an apartheid state. They're the only ones that could get away with it, because the United States uses any excuse they can to annihilate a whole country. They're in violation of international law. But hey, it's okay for Israel to be in violation.
That's right.
And when you talk about Netanyahu, and when you talk about the relationship, when Netanyahu came to the United States one time, where did he stay? At Jared Kushner's daddy's house. Jared Kushner, of course, being the husband of Ivanka Trump.
He did. He stayed in Kushner's bedroom, didn't he?
That's right.
It's.
I wonder if they stayed in there together.
You wonder. Nothing.
I wonder if there's another side to Jared. You know.
Nothing. Nothing would surprise you. When you come on, we get masses of tweets. Of course, always. I love that about your visits to the show, because our listeners love you over here. It's at Gerald Celente on Twitter, by the way, in case you're not following Gerald on Twitter. It's at Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. You've been talking a lot. I mean, there's going to be a lot of social upheaval. Thanks for those comments on Iran, by the way. I'm getting that from you and from other learned men and women as well, that we're going to see significant movement there this year. And some ex-CIA men that both of us know worry about, you know, false flag terror and that sort of stuff to incite something in the region this year. Let's hope that doesn't happen. What about social changes, my friend? What about the fallout from the allegations against people like Harvey Weinstein? What about the Me Too movement? I know you've been talking about that with your friend Ron Paul and others. We're going to see a lot of social changes brought about maybe by this crazy cultural Marxist progressive agenda that seems to be like a freight train, Gerald. What do you see this year socially?
Well, again, you know, there's a lot of identity politics going on, and the major issues are being ignored. You pick up today, if you pick up the major papers in the United States, the New York Times, the toilet paper of record, Wall Street Journal, and USA Today, the front page, top half of the page, full pictures almost going across the front, are the sick guy over there that was just convicted of abusing gymnasts.
Oh, yes.
You know, a terrible story. You know, a terrible low-life human being. Well, they give him 175 years. Okay, great. You know, you're like, well, you give him 50
overkill.
Years.
Like, overkill, yeah.
You know? But we'll give him 175. You know, we're going to add up them years. He's going to be in jail this life and the next one, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a terrible incident that happened. It's disgusting. It's not a front page story in the trends world. That isn't a major story to us. That is a current event forming future trends. And so to us is, hey, what's going on in Ukraine? How many people did the Saudis slaughter today in Yemen? What's going on in Congo? Other issues as well. Oh, and I want to flip back for just a second before I forget in talking about the propaganda that the United States has been selling and has sold against Iran when those protests happened, and they were blowing it up, putting up the bigger pictures of pro-Iranian rallies. What's not making the news at all in the United States, and again, which should be, to me, a much bigger story than what that sick guy did to these poor, innocent young ladies, is what the Washington, D.C. police and all the others did on Inauguration Day when Trump got inaugurated in January 2017, when they arrested hundreds of people, when they shot tear gas, stun grenades, and pepper spray at them. And they are now in court, some facing 70 years because they protested. And the strip searching that they did, and the men, and going up into their private pots and humiliating them. Hundreds of people being brought to trial. And you're talking about the Iranians, you low-life piece of garbage called the New York slime? Where are you now? CNN? What a freak show, man. Tune in any of them. Fox, it's a freak show. But the real issues they're not talking about. So why aren't they talking about that? They're not a word of it in the American media, as these people are now going on trial and facing up to 70 years for protesting. And what do the police do? They kettle them in. Oh, yeah, this is the democracy of the United States. Man, it's still high school. Nothing has changed here, man. You got the principals running the show, and that's the way they treat the people.
We wouldn't know about that if it wasn't for you. I didn't know about that. You know, I'm almost embarrassed. I didn't know about that.
No, of course you wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, I didn't.
And the ACLU is the only one that's fighting it.
Yeah. That's a staggering thing.
It's going on as we're speaking. And it's not making any of the news.
And you're right to decry the fact that it isn't making the news while Iranian protests are making the news. And of course, they're using the dirty tricks of taking Iranian supporters' images and pretending they're protesting. But if they wanted to go down the line or down the road of reporting on protests, they could also report on the fact that every weekend 10 or 12,000 people or more come out on the streets of Tel Aviv demanding that Benjamin Netanyahu be arrested, thrown in prison and the key thrown away because of corruption allegations against him, which I can't say if he's guilty or not, but he's got a case to answer, Gerald.
Again, you know, I always say, people, don't start this anti-Semite crap with me when I condemn Israel for their murderous ways in apartheid state. Because the people running it, you just mentioned Netanyahu, he's an Ashkenazi Jew. They're Eastern Europeans. They didn't convert into what, 700, 800 AD? They're not Semites. So you can't call me an anti-Semite when you talk about the people that are running Israel.
That's true.
They're not Semites. Period, paragraph. The Palestinians are Semites.
The bloody irony of it. But not a whisper.
Yeah. The people from the Mesopotamia region as Semites. Again, you know, it's the hypocrisy. The media is garbage. The media stinks in this country. And again, no one is speaking about peace. We launched, you know, as you well know, I was on with Ron Paul, and we were talking about peace. And so few people are into it. Americans love war, they hate peace. And you talked about the women's movements. Not a peep about peace. Not one word from it. Silence. And I can tell you from our efforts in Occupy Peace, we can't raise any money. We sent out that video that you saw, you know, to 40,000. In our subscription list over here of people, TransJournal people, and several, almost 1,000 in the media. 50 people clicked on to Occupy Peace.
No way. 50 people.
50 people, and we raised the grand total. You ready?
Go on.
$135.
Our listeners, you need to understand the size of the reach of the TransJournal and Gerald. He's not going to blow his own trumpet, but we're talking about a man who's known all over the world. That's staggering. By the way, the website is occupypeace.com, occupypeace.com. Gerald, I'm flabbergasted. I can't believe that.
And I'm telling you, I just mentioned to you what happened with the Women's March.
Yeah.
Nothing about peace.
No.
Nothing about stop these maddening wars. You know, what's going on? And all these people, we're talking about Israel, you know, of course, you know, all these people that claim that, you know, their religion is the real religion. You know, your God is the fake God. So, and then you look at the Trump White House, it's taken over by generals. You got McMaster, you got Mattis, you got Kelly. Eisenhower, as I mentioned on Ron Paul's show, would be turning in his grave. And that was a five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces during World War II, that warned us in his farewell address that the military-industrial complex was taking over the nation. Yeah. Now, Trump puts generals in charge and says to them, quote, giving them total authorization, end quote, to wage war. Totally against the Constitution. So despite this obvious military takeover, we got a nation of sheep over here who obediently, not only him, Obama, Clinton, Bush, they hail to the chief, they pledge allegiance to support the troops, and approve spending their trillions of tax dollars to murder innocent civilians around the world. Millions of them. And, Richie, listen to the deafening silence from all those good Samaritans and the holy faithful who pray in the church, who worship at the temple and bow at the mosque of my God is the true God and your God is the fake God. Why aren't they mass protesting America's mass murder of innocent Afghan, Iraqi, Libyan, Syrian, and Yemeni civilians?
The same reason.
Why are they not protesting the bombing of these cities in these countries that they've bombed into obliteration? And hey, Richie, how did we get... I can't understand how we got the refugee crisis. It couldn't be because they destroyed Raqqa. They destroyed huge parts of Syria, bombed the hell out of Libya. Iraq is destroyed. Every day, another bombing in Afghanistan. I wonder why the people are leaving those places. You know, maybe we, the next time we get together, we could discuss why.
Why not?
And maybe put a blue ribbon committee together to figure it out.
Yeah, maybe we should start buying real estate in Idlib and places like that. And I don't say that for a cheap laugh. It's insane. And the reason they don't care or they don't do anything is the same reason that people don't do anything here in the UK. You mentioned, I know we've only got about 5 minutes left, you mentioned the takeover of the White House. And as you were talking about the military takeover of the White House, I recalled a conversation you and I had about 9 years ago when I was in Spain about General Smedley Butler, whom I believe blew the whistle on that very eventuality about 70, 80 years ago. Am I right? This was planned 75, 80 years ago for a coup d'etat by the US military over the government. And what you're describing now
That's basically what
Smedley Butler warned about.
Yep. Yeah, it was War's a Racket is the name of the book. So again, going back to all these people that, you know, everybody's playing their religious card. You know, does their Church of God, run by these holier-than-thou hierarchy, sanctify genocide and wanton destruction like they do in the UK? They're all part of this. Look at that guy Blair. How come he's not in front of a war crimes tribunal along with Bush and all the rest? Why aren't parishioners practicing the principal precepts of peace and love that are supposed to be the foundation of all religious philosophies? So, what's the reason? Is it gutless science or psychotic behavior? Or maybe those UFO deals are really real and it's a subterranean Satan in shepherd's clothing that an inhuman race is secretly worshiping. Because nobody wants to stand up for peace. No one wants to occupy peace. And by the way, this is the only action plan for peace. It's bringing home the troops. Oh, you want to secure the borders? Okay, let the troops secure the borders. Force Congress to vote to go to war, which they have not done since World War II, and blockchain democracy. We could vote to say what we want our congressmen to vote for. War or no war, because we're the ones that pay for it with our money and our lives. But no support, Richie. So when people are crying about what's going on, a bunch of cowards out there. Again, gutless silence.
It's interesting you say that, because that brings me to the final question I have for you. I spoke a couple of weeks ago to a very famous journalist in London, Julian Petley, who he's one of the most senior journalists in the country. But he was on and he talked about supporting the independent media that deserves it, you know, the independent media that's professionally run and is asking these questions. The reason I bring this up is because we're facing, I think, in 2018, they're setting up a fake news unit. And this is absolutely incredible. You have the UK government setting up a fake news unit to watch over the media. I think the assault coming on independent media this year might dwarf anything we've ever seen. That's the final question for you. What are we going to do about that?
You know, we need a new way. Anybody wants to get in business and has the money to do it, start the new Facebook and the new Google and run around these clowns. Could you imagine them and the government censoring what we should know when they sell the propaganda at the highest level? Hey, let me tell you something, Richie. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
Read my lips. No new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. You know, one lying little creep after another, promoted by the media, sold and packaged. This is the time for a new way. And when the people unite It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Samuel Adams.
Brilliant way to leave it today, Gerald. Folks, go to trendsresearch.com. Support the Trends Journal. OccupyPeace.com. Gerald, it's always brilliant having you on the program. Thanks for giving us your time today, mate. Really loved it. Thank you. And I think he might be gone. He's gone. Okay. Thank you, Gerald. Great stuff. He's gone there. That was Gerald Celente, live on the line from Brooklyn in New York City. Really interesting, that last bit. It's exactly 19 minutes to the top of the hour. A lot of comments came in there. Let me read some of those comments as I scroll down. See what? I lose my place on the tweets. Paul Jackson says, "Hi, Rich. I think it is wrong to say that the American people want war. It isn't them. It's their government." I think what he was saying, Paul, is that the indifference of people to what's going on is just as bad as it. And it's kind of complicity by other means, isn't it? By being indifferent to it, or by not doing anything about it and crying about it and saying, well, you know, it's terrible what's going on, but not taking any steps or any measures to do anything about it. Let me just see. Cartoon Drunk says, "I love Gerald, he kicks ass every time." Susan says, "He's always on the bigger picture while most just focus on the minutiae. He's excellent," says Susan there. Trendsresearch.com. I get the journal sent to me every quarter, of course, but I do recommend it, and I don't recommend very much, as you know. Right, I'm going to take some music. Hi to Faisal, by the way. Let me have some music, and when we come back, more of your comments. Is it? Oh, yeah, it is. I didn't think I had any music. I do. Get your arse in gear.
There's no shame, but I got to love. Ability to handle stressful situations and make better and wiser decisions. The specialist you need is Dr. Laura, the chiropractor. Yes, chiropractor. Gentle chiropractic techniques like the Webster technique has been proven to help you achieve all of those. When your spine is properly aligned, you have a clear brain-body connection, which in turn helps with your basic bodily functions on both physical and mental level. This gentle technique is wonderful for pregnant women and children, including infants, and addresses a vast array of issues. Visit www.soulshinechiropractic.com to book your free consultation with Dr. Laura at her Brooklyn clinic. Initial consultation is free, and potential benefits of treatment can stretch much further than you think. That's www.soulshinechiropractic.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper?
Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize,
yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings
may be the long-awaited answer, designed to help you finish your masterpiece
with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and
valuable information to get published.
Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at www.creativeimaginings.com.au.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back. Just off mic there. Saw that Michael Rivero covered that story. It was in the Mail today. The doomsday clock. There is a doomsday clock. It's a symbolic clock which has been set at 2 minutes to midnight. Great Iron Maiden song, 2 minutes to midnight. Kill for gain or shoot to maim. We don't need a reason. It's been set at 2 minutes to midnight, which is the closest the planet has been to an apocalypse since 1953. Scientists are saying it's all down to tension between North Korea and Donald Trump. Well, the North Koreans and the South Koreans seem determined. Well, there seems to be real determination there for both sides to come together and come to some sort of agreement where they either reunite or they agree that they will exist, coexist in peace and harmony and maybe freedom of movement between the two countries. All of this is up in the air. It's incredible that it was, this was announced last night, early this morning, and there's been no coverage of this whatsoever on UK media today. It really is kind of staggering. I find it staggering. Anyway, right, Sunday View, as always, will be live at 11 a.m. UK time on Sunday morning, this Sunday morning. I look forward to that every Sunday. It keeps me honest on Saturday, you see. I can't really let the old hair down if I had any hair to let down. I can't get too excited on Saturday knowing I've got to get up and prepare Sunday View. But I love Sunday View. It's nice. I used to do a programme like that many years ago, looking over the Sunday papers. It's nice to do it now. So I'll be with you on Sunday View at 11 a.m. We'll have a look at the Sunday papers and we'll look closely at one or two stories contained inside those Sunday papers. Like doing that show. Just want to do a little bit of housekeeping. Again, just to reiterate, the programme now is available in so many different ways, so many different formats. If you're really into your on-demand, which so many people are, I mean, we've got a very healthy live audience, but so many people don't want live programmes in 2018. They want programmes on demand. Now, don't read anything into that. It will always be done live. I'm old school. I can't bear the idea of recording a programme with two guests of an afternoon, say, and then putting it out online. I can't bear it. I love live. Live is where I live. There's another phrase that I didn't coin, but I love live. It will always be broadcast live. Always. Always. That's a promise. But people increasingly want their media when they want it. So now, if you've got Spotify, you can hear it on Spotify. iTunes, it's on iTunes. Now, both iTunes and Spotify host, what they do is they host the last five episodes. Podomatic.com, which is where the programme is archived, they've got nearly all the episodes, going back 2.5 years. They don't have all the episodes, but nearly all the episodes. So Podomatic.com, Spotify, iTunes. The TuneIn app also hosts the programme, and the programme streams, the most recent programme streams every day on richieallen.co.uk and will stream until I go live again. You get the picture. So many ways that you can hear the programme and share it with others. And thanks for sharing it with people. Thank you for introducing the programme to people. Do share the new website with them. Ask them to consider the articles on there. Those articles are my opinions. And when we have guest articles, they will be the opinions of the guest, he or she or she or he. So feel free to disagree with those in the forums. Pull them apart. Have a right good go with them. That's what they're there for. My opinions are not sacrosanct. I don't know everything, far from it. But do share those articles with people. Give them, give them a different perspective, is all I'm saying, really. Well, that's it then for Thursday's programme and for the week's live programmes in general. We air Sunday to Thursday, 11 a.m. Sunday, Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time. Have a good weekend, whatever you're doing. Look after yourselves and one another. Big shout out to Simon Stewart for archiving the programme on YouTube. Thanks to Jean Ann for her help as well. Hayden Hewitt will be live with Trigger Warning. That is live at 10 p.m. UK time tonight. That's an hour from now. And that can be watched on triggerwarning.tv and it can be watched on liveleak.com and YouTube. Check Hayden out, he's terrific. And for the last time, thanks to Hayden for getting richieallen.co.uk online and all singing and all dancing. I couldn't be happier. Did I say that? I think somebody sounding and looking remarkably like me might have said that several times this week. I'm thrilled with the way it looks. I couldn't be happier. I really am. So there you are. Gerald Celente's brilliant points on what's going on around the world at the moment got me thinking of this song by The Who. So we're going to go out with this song. Do disconnect when you can from all of this madness, because if you don't, it gets you down. Have a great weekend. I'll speak to you on Sunday at 11 a.m. for Sunday View. Until then, take care of yourselves and one another. It's bye for me. Bye now.